morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. It's Friday, June 21st. My name's Jack Peterson. I'm here with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack.
Nice to see you.
Yes, on a beautiful day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Finally getting some of that summer.
And yeah, on the, I guess yesterday was the official first day.
Yeah, technically even, we're getting that summer now.
Yeah. And we are joined this morning by Lauren Reichenbach, a staff writer for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, there. I'm going to move that one out of the way a little bit so I can see you. Okay, let's run down the headlines for today here in local news. The lake is finally at full pool. We are at our summer level. The Albany Falls Dam is still under repair, however, and we'll be talking to Lauren about that. She's been covering the story for the Daily Bee. The Sandpoint Planning and Zoning Commission approved a conditional use permit for Averill Hospitality, and a new hotel at City Beach looks more and more likely on the horizon. The Camp Bay Lake access remains stalled until the final path is completed next year, but Commissioner Asia Williams is contesting that, or at least looking into options that might be worked around. Out in West Bonner County, Brandon Durst, the former superintendent of schools, or in West Bonner County for at least a few months last year, has sued the school district for breach of contract. And so we see Brandon Durst back in the news again after some absence for the last, I guess, since last summer, I think, since about September when he resigned, when the school board accepted his resignation. In other Bonner County news, Dave Bowman's trespass appeal was reversed the trespass was reversed. The appeal, I guess, was approved at Bonner County Commission. The city heard a proposal for, the city of Sandpoint heard a proposal for the Black Rock site cleanup at the north end of the Pondre Bay Trail. That would be, that is part of the city of Pondere's front door project, so-called, which is aiming to tie the city of Pondere to the Bay Trail and give the public in Pondere greater access to the lake, but that would require the Black Rock site to be cleaned up, as it is currently toxic and not fit for humans to to use, I guess is would be the word. And in East Bonner County, there has been a challenge to the East Bonner County Library, there has been a challenge to a book series. The series is called Saga, and it is a series of graphic novels that has been challenged. Currently, the East Bonner County Library has determined to keep the series in circulation on the shelves, but they might be moved to another section following a following the July 1st implementation of the new law in the state regarding harmful materials in public libraries. So that's what I have right now. Did I miss any big headlines for the week? Anyone?
Yeah, you missed. Well, on the Sandpoint Planning and Zoning gave approval.
Did you
mention that?
I did mention that. Okay. But that is the big one, yeah.
There's that. And then how about the mayor is canceling public comment at city council meetings?
I didn't say that.
Remote,
you're right.
Public comment.
Right, yeah. You can still make a public comment if you show up in person, but no longer, yes, accepting comments remotely.
And that's after they received some a bunch of comments on the Gaza-Palestinian conflict that were, as the mayor said, disturbing. So if you want to comment on city matters, you'll have to show up at a council meeting.
That's right. Yeah, kind of a matter of, or at least their justification for it is kind of security.
Yeah, of the council members pushed back on that, saying, hey, we're here to listen to people, but On the other hand, you know, remote attendance means anybody from anywhere in the world can attend and bring up subjects that aren't even remotely, if you might say it that way, relevant to the business that they're dealing with.
Had they had problems a number of times in the past, I think, at least a couple times.
Where, they had a lot of issues last year, just kind of out of the blue. It popped up for a couple of meetings, and they were not prepared to handle it. And so it kind of got out of hand for a couple of weeks, and then it seemed to die off, and now it's back. So,
Well, Lauren, let's talk about the big story that is finally, I was going to say it's kind of behind us, but it's not. The lake is at full pool.
Finally. However,
so the current issue is at least resolved, but the dam is not fixed.
The dam is damaged.
Yes. We've been talking about this, of course, for weeks and weeks now, but I don't think we've really done a great deep dive on it. Can you tell us when did they, or what, you know, what's the nature of the damage, and what's the plan going forward?
Sure. So about June last year, they were kind of doing routine inspections on the spillway gates at Albany Falls Dam. And they noticed something kind of unusual on spillway gate 3. And they did some testing on it, couldn't really find anything. So they ended up pulling it out completely. And then they put in their spare gate, which they only have one spare gate that is important for upcoming. Pulled it out. They had to strip all of the paint off of it. And they found a bunch of cracks in the steel. And the cracks run pretty much all the way the entire length of the gate. So they're a lot more difficult to fix.
And they wouldn't just replace the gate with a newly manufactured gate, I guess. They're trying to patch the existing one back together.
They don't really have a plan. They're not entirely sure they can patch the gate. I think they're looking at options to try to do that, because I believe that would be the fastest way to go, but they're not totally sure that that's feasible, just with how the defects, like how deep the defects go and how widespread they are across the gate. So they're kind of looking at all their options right now, but they haven't really found a straight solution.
Let's for those who I imagine most of our listeners kind of know have been following the story and know what Albany Falls Dam is, but just for a bit of background, it was built in 1951 and completed in 1951 and completed in 1955. And it produces over 200 million hours of kilowatt hours of electricity each year. How about that? So it's an electric dam, a hydroelectric dam, and is operated by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. So it is a public dam. There's 10 spillway gates, right?
And one spare.
And one spare, and it controls the level of Lake Ponderay, which is... The lake is not a reservoir. It is a naturally occurring lake, but the level goes up and down based on what the Albany Dam downriver allows, what amount of water it allows through. And there's the story. So we're dealing with the Army Corps of Engineers, not a private company or anything like that. They were doing, you said, routine inspections in June?
Yes.
This was a known issue with dams kind of that vintage, I guess? Or is this something new that's come up?
I don't know if it's a routinely occurring issue. They didn't really say that other dams across the country have been dealing with the same issue. But with steel that old, it only had about a 50-year lifespan. And we're coming up on 70 years next year that they will have been in the works. So they're already 20 years past their lifespan, so...
Well, okay, but their plan, or they are trying to just repair the gate and not replace it. That's interesting.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They don't really know. They're looking at all their options. Funding is a big issue, and so they're trying to do the least costly thing. But it's definitely going to be a multi-year issue. It's not going to go away by the end of summer for sure.
The big point of criticism, I think, or at least the big question that people were asking was, if, especially if they knew about this, that this was a potential problem last June, why weren't they working on it over the winter? Why did it, you know, why wasn't it until April that we saw movement on this issue?
Yeah, that's a big thing that the public is very upset about. One of the things that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said in their meeting is, even if they would have discovered this months and months in advance, we'd still be at the exact same place we are now, because they do only have one spare gate and they don't have immediate funding available to replace or repair any of the gates. And they're, since they were all developed at the same time, they're worried that if one has defects, multiple or all of them have defects. And so when they found issues, they pulled it out, they stripped the paint off, and they, I'm not sure if the contractor they used is part of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers or if they're a third party, but they kind of took their time testing the gate and finding those defects. So it took 10 months, and they apologized for it, and they're hoping that the next gate testing will go a lot faster, but they don't really have an answer of why it took so long. It just did.
Is there a description of what the defect is exactly?
Yes. Oh, I can't remember the exact terminology for it, but basically there are holes going through the steel, and the holes have caused cracks across the entire layers of it. There are some, I think they're called berms. They have three or four berms, and I think across at least two of the berms there are cracks going the whole way, and the holes kind of go into the steel. So, but they're so microscopic that they couldn't have been detected whatsoever, even with ultrasonic testing, until the paint was stripped off. So it's very hard. They determined that the cracks might have been there for years and years and years, and because they were so minuscule, they couldn't detect them with routine maintenance until all the paint was off.
So is a threat that these gates might just catastrophically fail, and so all of a sudden we'd have water rushing out.
Yes. So what they were saying is, with the way the defects are and what they've seen in other forms of steel and other places and how they interact with water and such, they wouldn't really give you a warning. They would just fail immediately, and that can cause tons of issues with the lake, with injuries to people, with injuries to equipment, and with only one spare gate. It's hard, because if one of the ones that are in the dam fails now, they're kind of up a creek without a paddle.
And they have one. they have one spare. They have more spares.
Yes, they have one, just spare, one spare, and it's in place of the one they've pulled out. So they have no other ones left.
Well, okay, and yeah, this is, it's, I don't know exactly how far, but it's not very far from Old Town and Newport, Washington. I mean, just, and that is downriver. So I imagine a catastrophic gate failure could be dangerous.
Yes.
To close by populations. Well, okay. So all we know is that their repairs are ongoing.
Yes.
They'll, I imagine, resume when they lower the lake level again at the end of this summer. And could be years before
that's what it's looking like. Yeah.
Is it going to be a late summer again next year, or now that they know that it's here, they're going to try and plan around it and work?
Yeah. So as of right now, they're not predicting any changes in like fall pool. So like lowering the lake, they're not predicting any changes in that. What they said as of right now, they have no idea what next summer is going to look like, because they don't know how much snowpack they're going to have, how much rain they're going to have in the spring, what the issue with the gates will look like then, if they get funding, if they don't get funding by then. So it's, they have no plans for next year, but so far the rest of this year is looking normal.
Are they getting another spare gate manufactured?
Not as of right now. They kind of don't have any answers for us at the moment, but they said they're researching all options. So,
and they are saying that they do not have enough money for it. And
yes,
that's the Army Corps of Engineers.
Yes,
of the U.S. military.
Yes.
Okay, just checking. All right.
Well, what they were saying is, like, all the infrastructure all across America is old, and there's more need than there is funding for all the projects everywhere. And so it's kind of a toss up of if the need is deemed urgent enough to get funding right away.
Huh. Interesting. Well, so that's what's going on at Albany Falls Dam. But right now, the lake is up, and summer's here. Yep. All right, let's hit the waves. let's talk about speaking of the lake and the beach. Planning and Zoning Commission here in Sandpoint approved the conditional use permit for the proposed new hotel that was proposed by Averill Hospitality, and that would be at the site of the current Edgewater Hotel. I don't actually know if the hotel would still be called the Edgewater or if they changed the name to something else.
They're weighing that question. Okay. They actually have a hotel in Missoula that's called the Edgewater.
It's a nice hotel.
Oh, really?
I have been there. Oh, yeah. Okay. I went to school in Missoula.
They said they're considering the name question.
Mm-hmm. That could be confusing. But what exactly was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission?
So it is the redevelopment plan for the Edgewater, and the P&Z Commission had their hearing on Tuesday. It was pretty much a full house.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think that room seats 70, 75, and there were several people that were standing. The proposal is to build a substantially larger hotel on the site. It's going to be 300, just a little shy of 300,000 square feet on five different levels, although it's not going to be any taller than the Seasons next door. It's going to be basically at the same height as the Seasons. The footprint of the building is like a big E. So the back or west side of the building facing town is, as it is now, a uniform wall. But on the lake side, there's three wings, if you can envision the three legs of the E that point out. And the recessed parts are courtyards. They're going to be open. There are, of course, renderings that show it's kind of a mountain style. It's hard to describe an architectural rendering, but the various feedback on the appearance of it. But actually, most of the people seem to like it. And the hotel will have 181 rooms, as they're currently got it planned right now. There'll be 240 parking spots. There's going to be a three-level parking garage at the back where the current parking lot of the Edgewater is. It's just they're going to go down, so there'll be parking underneath the whole structure.
Mm.
And then there'll be two levels, basically right where the parking lot is right now. They needed to... and there's also going to be a 350-person ballroom and other event facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be something that that Sandpoint currently doesn't have right now. There's not a hotel that can do, conferences and events of that sort. So the... one of the points they made was that this is going to help during shoulder seasons. We have, obviously, we're packed in summer. Winter's somewhat busier, but spring and fall are, kind of a tourism desert, if you will. Mm-hmm. A lot of the hotels around here go pretty low occupancy during that time of year. So planning is to create some convention facilities in this new building that will fill that kind of that lack in our tourism services here.
You, Chris, went to the meeting, right?
Or
you
I did. Watched it? Yeah, I was there.
What was the? I mean, how did things unfold? Was this a controversial proposal?
Well, first there was a city staff report on the various details of the proposal, and then. Various speakers from Averill Hospitality, which is based out of, it's a family run business. It's based out of Whitefish. They own a couple hotels in that area along with a hotel in Missoula. They also operate restaurants, and the new hotel will have a few different restaurants in it, actually. after the staff gave their report, the Avril hospitality folks gave their description of what they're asking for and the plan. And then that took over 2 hours to get through that much. And then they opened it up for public comment. And I counted that 17 people got up and testified in favor of it, and three opposed it. The three that opposed it were, they weren't like outright opposition. They were bringing up what they thought were deficiencies in the plan, specifically as related to parking, parking for employees, along with the guests at the hotel, potential traffic problems seemed to be the main points of contention from those three opponents. And of course, Avril is saying, yeah, you know, those are kind of the pinch points here, and that they're working in their plan to try to ease. Yeah, they will have 240 on-site parking spaces for 181 rooms, but when they're having events and other things happening there, they'll probably need more parking than that. And the question of where employees going to park is a big one. I would imagine employees will be able to park on site during the quiet times of the year, but not during full capacity in the summer.
Sure. Yeah. There's only, I mean, that is, Bridge Street is the only access to that location.
As soon as you get out from under the underpass, you know, for the railway there, in the bypass, the hotel's right there. And the way they're going to configure it, is they're going to put the entry area on, it will be on that southern border of the property. So you'll turn off of Bridge Street into the property that way. It's a little different configuration than there currently is. And then the people that will be staying at the hotel will unload there under a covered area, and they will be able to pull their cars forward into the parking structure, or they'll be able to swing around and come back out on what's called Dock Street that runs parallel to the building.
Sure.
And I mean, I would foresee that little spot there where people are coming out of Dock Street trying to get back onto Bridge Street, while cars might be backed up down Bridge Street, is going to be the place where they're going to have to do some kind of traffic control. But it's, you know, the 17 folks that were in favor of it, you know, we're all pointing to, they think the new ownership is good for our town because it's a family owner. It's not a big corporation. It's not Hilton or something that's building this with corporate layers that won't be engaged in the community at all, because the Avril family is very engaged in Whitefish, and they work with their community there, or so the reports are. And you know, they point out the economic benefits and also the fact that it is going to give us some convention facilities.
Is there any the property line goes right up to the beach, and then the beach itself is owned by the city, or is that just part of the lake at that point?
Well, I think it was a couple of years ago, or maybe 3 years ago now, the city did a land trade, and they acquired the property across Bridge Street from the Edgewater, and in turn they gave all the lawn that's in front of the current building. And they traded that to the Edgewater. So the hotel is going to now extend out into what is currently the lawn area. But there is a setback on that eastern boundary. The property line goes right to the sidewalk that parallels along the beach there. And they're showing that they're not, you know, still 30, 40 feet away from that, and there's going to be some grassy areas there. And again, there's those two what they call courtyards that extend well back from the water as well. And then they had to get a variance because, especially on that southern side, the way the commercial A zone reads right now, you have to build completely to your property line. And that's probably a good idea in the urban area, but but here they asked for a substantial setback from that southern boundary so they could accommodate the arrival area. That was one of the things that was approved, was this request for a variance as a setback. And when you look at the renderings, you know, it's a no-brainer. You wouldn't want that building to be built right up to the property line.
Is there any talk of a dock or anything like that to access from the lake?
No, they have actually some pictures that showed a little dock, but the dock, there's not a dock that's part of the project.
At this time, anyway.
No. And, of course, they're right adjacent to the windbag.
So there's still...
Yeah, so big change for our beach, that's for sure. The construction on this is not going to start any earlier than at least a year from now. That would be the demolition part of it. And will probably take a good 2 or 3 years to build it. They don't really have that schedule worked out. And there are a lot of architectural details, I'm sure, that they still are going to be working on as far as the interior of the building, how that's configured. But if you can go online, I think the Daily Bee had some renderings of it. Sandpoint Online has renderings. And you can get go to the city website, actually, and you can see the application. It's a 40-page document.
Yeah.
And you get a ton of details on what they're planning.
There's been talk of a new hotel there for years, but this sounds like – or a new construction there for years, but this sounds like – I don't know.
Yeah, this is a substantial move forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't a huge corporation that's doing this. They do have several hotels. You know, the reports are they really do a great job running those hotels. Mm-hmm. But it's estimated to be a $70 million plus project. So I imagine it's not an easy project for the corporation to pull off.
Yeah.
There is going to be an interesting feature. They're going to put what they call like a tiki bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a detached restaurant that's going to be right on the close to the beach in the southeast corner of the property.
Mm-hmm.
So people on the beach would be able to walk up and, you know, get something to eat or drink. And they are saying that all of the restaurants are going to be accessible to the public, not just reserved for hotel guests.
Yeah. Well, Lauren, is there anything? Can you give us the 10-second update from the Bonner County Commission? It's been quiet over there since the election.
Yes,
it has the primary
been surprisingly
election,
quiet.
Yeah.
Which I think caught everyone by surprise. I think everyone thought it was going to get a lot worse, but it's gotten a lot more civil. So that's been nice. Commissioner Asia Williams, she's working to try to find a middle ground with the Camp Bay Trail issue. Originally, she reached out to the contractor and asked about a temporary trail being made while construction is underway for the official trail. And they came back and basically told her no. No one has access to it unless you're an authorized Bonner County employee until February 2025. She announced that to the public and then came back this week and said that she realized that those are not legally binding documents. They're just what the contractor wants. And so she's going to go back and resume talks with the contractor as well as Bonner County prosecutor and try to figure out what's the what and if they can make some kind of temporary trail for residents to access the lake this summer before big construction goes underway and hopefully the official trail is built by next spring.
Yeah. It's a kind of a low population area compared to Sandpoint. And, but if you're a resident who lives up there, that's like your point of access to the lake.
Yes. Sort of.
So for those people, that'd be hugely important.
Yes, and the residents are arguing that there's an easement created already for the people who own properties out there to access their properties. So the residents who don't own properties right on the lake would like to use that easement to access the lake, but we'll see if they're allowed to or not.
Okay. And Dave Bowman's trespass order from January was reversed on appeal.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So he is back at the meetings.
Okay. He's a just a private citizen, but was trespassed from the meeting in January and is now back in regular attendance, I guess.
Yes.
Have you seen him there? He's gone. Yep. He's back. Okay. Any other big news from the county commission?
No.
Yeah.
It's been very quiet. Very short meetings.
Interesting. Yeah. Short agendas. I don't know. Summertime and, yeah, there's two lame ducks on the county commission of three right now.
Yes. They'll be gone by the end of the year.
Okay. I think we got to wrap it up because we're at 8:30. Anything else anybody wants to say? What's coming up in the paper next week, Lauren?
Good stuff.
What's going to
always
be the news?
Good stuff.
Okay.
I can't give anything away too early, but always pick up a copy every day.
The Daily Bee is on newsstands, is available around town and in your mailbox by subscription. And Lauren Reichenbach is the staff writer. And thanks very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
Have a
nice summery week.
Beautiful weekend coming our way. We will go for Otto's Eclectic Mix starting right now here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.